Hello, this is Southside Middle School in Muncie, Indiana. We are part of Muncie Community Schools. And we house grades 6 through 8 with 584 students, 86% of whom are on free and reduced lunch, and 24% whom are special education. We have 42 certified staff positions. I'm Jacob DeCruz, and I teach 7th grade social studies.
And I'm Taryn McKnight, and I teach 7th and 8th grade language arts.
I'm Monica Clark, I teach 7th grade math.
And I'm Sherry Dyer, and I teach 6th grade social studies.
Why did you decide to do STEM integrated units at your school?
Well, one day our principal sent us an email that said, "Congratulations, you're on the STEM team." And I think all of us were a little bit taken aback by that. Me as an ELA teacher, I was like, I think I got this by mistake. I have nothing to do with STEM, and I don't know what she's talking about.
That's kind of the way social studies felt. We were a little shocked at what does this involve? What are we going to have to do?
Math was exciting, and how can we incorporate math into other areas? But it was also like, what does this mean? What does STEM actually mean, other than saying, oh, we'll tack on a few math problems at the end of something and call it an integrative unit? So
that's kind of how it all started. And then from there,
a lot of research what had to be involved.
There were a couple school visits and seeing how, what was it, an elementary school and
the other one was an intermediate building.
Right, yes. And seeing how STEM operates.
Was implemented.
Yeah, in those two buildings.
So, and that was... I think they were both very different schools. Half the team went to one school, half the team went to another to gather information and just see some things hands-on.
And of course, in doing STEM, we wanted to boost student engagement, and we wanted students to get involved and be active participants in their learning, and STEM seemed like a great way not only for teachers to collaborate more and to create more purposeful lessons for our students.
And I like the fact that at the one school that we went to, the teachers were very hands-on. It wasn't all computer-based learning. It was, you have to test it out, write it down on paper, go over, build it, test it, see if it works, and then go back and document what you found. So there was a lot of paper and pencil writing.
Yeah, it was the visits really, I think, spurred the thought. And then we were able to come back together afterwards and kind of debrief on the visits, work on our strategic plan a little bit, and start really coming up with, okay, what are we going to do?
What were the themes of the units, and how did you decide on each grade level's theme?
It was kind of easy because science and social studies have units that overlap with the climate, and that really turns into the Brium unit. So when we put together our unit, it was pretty easy. We could take a biome from any part of the world. We could tag that with science. We could bring in a research paper. We could bring in math components. We could bring in the soil. We could bring in anything historical or geography related. So we could really incorporate all of the different subject matter. So when we sat down to do our project, we thought we could use a diorama the kids could create. They could create a poster, and then their final written project would be the research portion of that.
In seventh grade, we started looking at body systems and how all of these body systems are connected within the human body and what effect each plays on each other. And we were looking at parts of Asia in social studies and looking at how illnesses and diseases travel around the world and like what measures civilizations came up with to combat disease. In English, we were doing a lot of research and writing narratives. Math, we looked at how different cultures used math or using different representations and looking at how math affects the human body with, like, comparing bones and muscles and blood, and really looking at the overarching theme for all three grade level units was looking at parts to whole and how individual pieces connect to the whole picture. So sixth grade, each individual biome, how does it affect the world? Seventh grade, looking at body systems separately and how does it affect the whole human body? And then
how bacteria can affect a whole population or an area. Eighth grade was kind of the redheaded stepchild. We took a long time to land on any ideas. It took us at least one whole day of brainstorming before we finally landed on bacteria. And we actually landed on that when our science guy wasn't here. So then he came back and was like, wait, what? No, we can't do that. And so then it took us another professional discussion to figure out, like, okay, what are we actually going to do? And we stuck with that bacteria standard. And so in science, they were creating solutions to test on samples of bacteria to see which one would eradicate the most. And then in social studies, they were researching like a bacterial outbreak in history and creating like a historical fiction PSA about that. English was supporting the historical fiction PSA with some writing techniques. And then math was supposed to be doing scatter plots of the data collected in science, as well as working with scatter plots with some other data sets from historical type outbreaks. So we did finally get there, but it wasn't necessarily as easy as a road as sixth and seventh grade.
I do think we emphasized looking at what content was being taught in science at the time in our curriculum map that we have for our district and how the other content areas could come in to support that. We did have to get creative with adding our specials teachers into our lessons, but really there was a lot of creative freedom that any support that could be provided to help out is wanted, and it doesn't necessarily have to be directly connected to a standard about biomes, but if you're talking about music and maybe how different civilizations used music as part of their culture, anything that can be loosely connected that helps with the topic that we're looking at that continues to build connections for our students, I think is helpful.
And all cultures celebrated harvest or planting season, so that could have been used in, within that
be
realm.
Creative.
And then the facts.
Yeah.
Could have cooked something. And
yeah, like I know our tech ed teacher, the kids were building water filtration systems out of like rocks and coffee filters and things like that. And I think she was planning on tying it into the discussion of bacteria and how like people would have to create filtration systems to try to get the water to be as clean as possible. There were different ways that our specials teachers were creatively wrapping this in.
How and when did your teachers work on these units?
Well, initially we came together as a whole group at the start of most of our meetings, and then we would break off into grade level teams and work on our individual like content areas. So the English person would be working on the English plans, but the science person would be right there if they needed to have a collaborative discussion. We had a couple of days in the summer where we could volunteer to come in and work, but we were paid to do that, so it wasn't completely giving up your time, I guess.
After that, we met once a month as a team just to check how the progress of things were going, but each grade level and content area had a lot of freedom of when they were going to work on things, and we had all just kind of agreed we would have them done by a certain deadline.
Sometimes in our department meeting, we would discuss if and when there would be a need to meet again and discuss any of the topics that resources we may need to have assistance with.
Really finding time was just difficult without it built in. The days in the summer were really like the bulk of the time that we were able to spend actually together at the table. And so I do think it sometimes made it a little hard to get done without having that time explicitly set aside where teachers had to be there.
Did you use a uniform template? And where did you store all of the work?
Well, we already had a template in our building that we used for enrichment and tutorials that kids would do every day. So every teacher in the building would use this lesson plan template. And so they were familiar with what it looked like. And we decided that since that one had a breakdown of Monday through Friday with like the standards, the procedures, it already had all the required components. And so we decided to use that.
And the best place to store that would, of course, be Google Drive. So everybody had access to it. They could get in, they could at any time update their information or edit it as needed.
How were the teachers and students prepared to implement the units?
We originally thought it would be a good idea to do some sort of meeting in the infancy of this. We were like, let's meet with teachers, let's explain what STEM is and that we're working on these, and then once the units are done, we'll meet with the whole staff to explain implementation. So that was our original plan.
Well, while our staff met, we met initially as a whole staff to just kind of give an overview. Here's our purpose in doing this, and then we split into grade level or specialized areas to go into more detail about what the entire 10-day lesson looked like, and to have, you know, questions answered, and to just have professional conversations about what our end goal is for all this and why we're doing this. And while that was happening, all of our students were in the auditorium talking about and watching what is STEM, how can they get involved in STEM. So this entire morning, every person in the building was discussing STEM to some extent, just to get everyone excited about it, this new adventure we were about to tackle.
And then we ran into some roadblocks, and it turns out that we did not end up being able to implement because of some time constraints and some other obligations that we had to adhere to from the state and the district. And so then we had to have the conversation with our kids of, well, we are going to do STEM, but not this year. And so
or not as originally proposed.
Right. So we did have to change the plan up a little bit and have those conversations with staff and students. But it was just another part of the learning process in terms of planning.
Did teachers have any concerns about implementing the units? And how did you ensure that all teachers were interested enough to implement the units?
Well, I think we've all worked with teachers or been a teacher, and so I don't think it's any secret that sometimes there is burnout and it's just another thing and we have initiativitis, and how much time are we really going to dedicate to this? Is it going to be another thing we learn about, try, and then drop after 2 seconds? And so there was quite a bit of pushback from teachers as to, like, when do I have to do this? Why do I have to do it? Do I really have to do it? Is it an option?
And why do I have to do it if I didn't write it? Like, why am I implementing lessons that someone else has created? Or I don't understand parts of what has been created. And
some had already taught this lesson, so why am I doing it again?
So those were just some of the challenges. As far as people being interested and on board, we didn't really have a shared vision of what STEM would be, I don't think, this year. And so it made it difficult for staff members to be on board sometimes because I just don't think the understanding was fully there yet.
And after we had our all staff meeting and we broke into individual grade level meetings, after going through the breakdown of all 10 days, what it would look like for all the content areas, and having discussions about what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my class? We were able to alleviate some concerns for people that were willing to try. We had a self-contained special ed teacher say, how can I do this in my room with her kids? And their abilities vary from needing lots of help to being able to do some things independently. And when we explained everything to her and we offered support however we can, she said, this is great. Here's how I can do this. I might need help with X, Y, and Z. And we just had professional conversations about, we want everyone to buy in. We understand it's going to look different for different classes, but being willing to participate and being willing to be involved and being willing to help help to alleviate some of the concerns that people had. But it is hard to break down the barriers that some people have.
And buy-in is a tricky concept no matter what you're trying to do, because it has to start from the top down, and it has to be our students have to buy in, but by the same token, our administrators have to buy in. And then there's all the teachers in the middle who have to be on board with this, or it's just the nature of the STEM units are that they are integrated and they are like fully integrated. So if there's one piece of the puzzle missing, kids are missing a chunk of the concept. And so I think that does make it tricky.
And the more excited we as teachers are, the better that's going to help the ones who are hesitant, or the more that's going to help the hesitant teachers. So I think that helped bring them back on board too, or at least maybe look at it in a different light.
You are developing another integrated unit for next year. Is there anything that you would change from your process that you used last year?
Component is having constant communication from the top down. There needs to be a set in stone lead point person. It doesn't matter if that's a teacher, an administrator, it needs to be someone who is invested in all moving parts of this.
And like just the different, it's like playing a game of telephone. What one group says then makes it to the other group, and by the time it gets around to everybody involved, it's just all mixed up. And so that was definitely a barrier. I would say time was also a barrier. Time is always a barrier, and we're always told you're never going to get more time, so don't consider it as a problem. But it wasn't the amount of time that we didn't have, it was like the organization of the time. And so just finding a way to get more time during the day or...
for everyone. And that's so important that everyone be there.
And if you're considering doing this, like writing STEM lessons for your school or becoming STEM certified, get an administrator involved. And if you're an administrator listening to this, one, thank you. Two, make sure that you are involved, because listening to the needs of teachers from a teacher's perspective is great, but we need an administrator to be our voice to other administrators about what we need for this to be successful. I would have loved to have gotten chunks of time during the day to sit and work with my grade level colleagues on our lessons about making sure they're cohesive. And we did have that. I would have liked it to have happened more often. And so finding a way on grade levels, getting to meet together to make sure they're planning cohesive things that make sense.
And I know that like the nature of this is that it's teacher driven because they're the ones who are actually going to be implementing this, but it's such an all-encompassing idea that, like we've said, the top does have to at least share the vision with what the teachers are doing, and full for an administrator to go and be there for those in the moment experiences and discussions, just because at the end of the day, not all of the decision making rests on the teachers. And so it's just part of that building that collaborative culture of trust.
I understand it's important to make sure that the grade levels and the content areas are being represented. However, encourage people to participate. And if you think they have great ideas, encourage them to bring them to the table.
It's like selling cars. It's got to be so exciting that everyone wants to be there. I mean, that's how it really has to be, or it's not. You're going to be thrusting it upon people because there's too much workload and too few people who are interested. And your people sitting in the room, they may not even be that excited. So it's kind of like when you're teaching kids something they don't want to learn, you got to figure out how to get that buy-in. So that's one thing I think we could definitely work on moving forward, is figuring out how to get people interested in being on board.
To do another one. And this is kind of adapted. How can I change just the daily lessons that I do in my room on a regular basis? And how can I change even just little pieces that make things a little more interesting? And that might help them when we implement these units. They're going to be ready to hit the ground running. So do a lot of research. And if you're apprehensive, just keep looking things up. And even if it's stuff you can't use, adapt ideas from what you do find, or share the ideas that you find with people that can use them, and just keep researching.
It was helpful is at one of our trainings, it wasn't a required day, but it was during the summer. Our STEM leaders of our STEM team led teachers who were there through like a simulated STEM activity. And it was just one that was simple with paper chains or something, I can't remember. And I think just making those kinesthetic brain to hands to output connections, even for teachers to pretend to be the students, was helpful in understanding like, okay, this can be useful, this is good, we're teaching more than just content with this. So I would recommend trying to get some of your teachers to go through some of those more simple STEM activities.
Thank you for listening. If you have any further questions, please feel free to send someone an email. Our addresses are in the box. Thanks. Yay!